True Stream Media presents the ever-popular record-viewed clickbaity videos on etymology and a succinct consideration of the root meanings of certain words. Here in the V's, we find vote, from the Latin votum, or French vovere, principally an ardent wish or desire, a vow, a prayer. More familiarly, it is, too, a wish, choice, or opinion of a person or a body of persons expressed in some received and authorized way, in which the person voting has an interest in common with others, either in electing a person to office or in passing laws, rules, regulations, i.e. suffrage. We'll get to that momentarily. It is the means by which will or preference is expressed in elections. We find that vote is closely related to votary, also rooted in Latin, votus, or French vovere. Dictionary flip. Suffrage. To vote for. To elect. From the Latin suffragium, perhaps originally a broken piece, a potsherd, used in voting, and in French, sub, under, plus frangere, to break. A vote given in deciding a controverted question, or in the choice of a man for an office or trust, the formal expression of an opinion, assent, vote, testimony, witness, approval. Ecclesiastically, a short petition, a prayer, in general, as one offered to the faithfully departed, also aid and assistance. So, it's the perfect analogy to putting the broken pieces of Humpty Dumpty back together. They just can't do it. Vote, votary, which is a vow or promise consecrated by a vow or promise, one devoted, consecrated, or engaged by such a vow or promise, especially one devoted, given, or addicted to some particular service, worship, study, or state of life. Addicted, that's interesting. We need to have more than one perspective on voting here.
Here is the freest democracy in action. The aged and young bring the cross-section of the people to the expression of their will in an atmosphere of calm domestic purpose.
In several different senses, voting isn't merely casting a decision on a ballot, but casting one's will, casting a wish, and expressing or signifying the mind, will, or mere preference, and done with the same kind of superstitious devotion of a votary offering. In literally willing one's vote, one is giving consent and joining in a wish or vow. The definition suggests that
wishful thinking is shot.
Wishing candidate A into power by casting a vote, then, is a powerful form of consensus building. It's more than a mandate. It has all sorts of binding powers tied up in it. Dictionary flip. Consent. To feel together, to agree in opinion or sentiment, to be of the same mind, to accord, to concur, to indicate a willingness, to yield to guidance, persuasion, necessity, to give assent or approval, to comply, acquiescence, voluntary accordance with what is done by another, compliance, approval, permission. Dictionary flip. Will, the power of choosing, the faculty or endowment of the soul capable of choosing, of the mind on what to do or not to do, in preferring or selecting one of two or more objects, the choice which is made, a determination or preference which results from the act or exercise of the power of choice, a volition, the choice or determination of one who has authority. Think about that. A decree, a command, thy will be done. A strong wish, an inclination, desire, purpose, power to control, dispose, or determine. dictionary flip, mandate, an official or authoritative command, an order or injunction in Webster's New World College Dictionary, to put into one's hand in trust the wishes of constituents expressed to a representative, legislature, etc., as through an election and regarded as an order. In Scott's law, it's a contract by which one employs another to manage any business for him, and in Roman law, it's the same, but with indemnity for the manager, the leader, the president, what have you. And while you may vote or wish for a candidate that seemingly most closely allies with your favorite positions, time has shown that such candidates tend to exercise a will of their own, one typically imposed by their paymasters and closed-door backers. Recent American history is some of the best testament to that.
So if you're asking me, are we a democracy? In one sense, we are. All right, you can run for office. You can raise your issues. On the other hand, in terms of who has the real power, money people do. And I use the term oligarchy.
And in vowing and wishing and voting for the lesser of two evils, one is, of course, still voting for evil. Cycle after cycle, there's evidence of presidents and major party figures pursuing and implementing unconstitutional measures, actions done in the name of those who elected them and gave them power, but which operate to weaken and undermine the rights of the very people they were meant to represent.
You have done as instructed. You will remember nothing about this. Nothing.
Sorry if this is too obvious. To make matters worse, there's very little evidence to suggest that your vote actually counts in the actual electoral process. Among other things, the Electoral College determines the actual votes for the president, and their members are composed of big party delegates. The districts for electing congressional representatives are gerrymandered everywhere in the country by the two major parties, who alternate, or rather oscillate, in their domination of the process of drawing up the districts every decade, determining likely outcomes in advance.
These are the races we have to win. We're very discreet, reptilian, cold-blooded. These are the races we have to win.
Meanwhile, the number of people represented by each member of Congress has swelled dramatically over the centuries. And while you may get the chance to shake your rep's hand once in a while, it's pretty unlikely that an average Joe would actually be listened to by a representative in Congress.
Millions of dollars a plate. That's the reality of politics. They are looking down from on high at the people who make the difference in their communities. And that is the reality of politics. Look at the ring of sweets, okay? This is not unique to Democrats. There is a game of money. When people talk about uniparty, we are strangled by the money reality in our politics. Those sweets start at 500 grand. You think there's like a teacher group up in there?
Individual votes rarely decide the outcome of even close elections, and the designation of red and blue states generally decides the way things will play out on the board game of the American election, certainly most of the time. Big money and lobbyists generally finance the winners and determine the real legislation.
You pay to play. Those boxes are filled with the same people that they say they're going to regulate. They are literally looking down on the base.
Outsider candidates, anyone who might be truly independent, have an impossibly difficult time even getting on the ballot at all in the first place. And most third-party presidential candidates have failed to even be included in the debates. The major political parties are not only determined by major corporate and ideological interest, but may actually be owned and steered in a way that isn't democratic at all, and which is more like a farce to create the illusion of choice, since the party isn't actually obligated to select the candidate who wins the most votes or generates the most support. The game of delegates and superdelegates is what really counts. Case in point is the thwarting of the grassroots support for Bernie Sanders.
You know, I ran in 16, I ran against Hillary Clinton, and I ran in 20.
Yeah, I remember, and I felt like you didn't get treated fairly, to be honest with you.
No, I didn't, and that's what happens when you take on the establishment.
Against the party machine that was, certainly at one point, reportedly owned and controlled by Hillary Clinton, or at least effectively owned and controlled. The meat of the story is Donna Brazile claims the DNC party was broke and the Hillary camp invested in the DNC itself and took it over before she ever got the nomination.
According to USA Today, Brazil alleges that before Clinton became the Democratic nominee, her campaign signed a joint fundraising agreement with the DNC and the Hillary Victory Fund, in which her campaign would finance the DNC in exchange for oversight from the Clinton campaign. The agreement specified that in exchange for raising money and investing in the DNC, Hillary would control the party's finances, their strategy, and all the money raised. Now, into the technological age, the black box approach means that political campaigns and major corporations can access huge banks of data on individual voters and demographic blocks alike, and through algorithmic advertising, can tailor their approach in very specific and targeted ways. Search engines and social media platforms have already shown their capability to tailor what users can see or find about political candidates and issues. They can nudge perceptions, amplify or bury controversies, and arguably decide elections through the manipulation of voters' knowledge and information. Traditional major polling can also be deceptive and drive voters' behaviors in distorted ways. It's been found that the predictive model often predicts the outcome. And to top it all off, electronic voting can be easily hacked. Results can be faked, elections can be stolen, and the regulators and watchdogs typically come from within the two-party system. Foxes guarding henhouses. And there's plenty more points that could be mentioned and examined, but suffice to say, it is no secret that big money backs the candidates it wants to install and put in power.
Do you think that our election process is still democratic? Do you think it's still...
Yes and no. I mean, you know... You want to run for office. Can you? Yeah, you can. You got a certain number of signatures. But if you're going to win, and I have 10 times more money than you do, I will beat you 95% of the time.
Wow.
So why do they push the vote so hard?
Choose or lose. Go to MTV.com or call 1-888-VOTE-SMART.
Why do they push Rock the Vote and other efforts for people to line up and get out and cast their votes for candidates that are largely already selected by the powers that be? Why are broken political promises such an enduring punchline for cynics, comics, and observers? Why do people fall for this, and why do they put their energy into it? Anyone facing up to the real politic can see how futile the election process is. So what is the point of voting? It seems to me that many people underestimate the value of generating consent, of giving people a sense of power and an input into a process, despite the fact that they hardly have control over it. By having the endorsement of a plurality of voters or the widespread illusion of popular support, they not only have the perception of greater legitimacy, but they also harvest some kind of energy of the will in the support that they garner. The power of consent, of inviting in a ruler, of having people wish for and vote for a candidate or law, it carries a strong weight. Even though the proof of this happening, it's more on the emotional and psychical side, and therefore it's difficult to make it more tangible and concrete. It is a factor, though, and it's a major factor. And it feels like genie rules. It feels like a trickster sometimes campaigning for your consent, sometimes fooling people outright. Candidates have long known how to say what people want to hear. And to get that consent, they'll promise almost anything.
We'll be the master of the land.
I command you to build me a barrier.
So it's not surprising when the campaigning season resonates with what they want to hear, and the reality is something different. But once you wish for them, they do something else, something usually that the people pulling their strings want done. And this is where it's an important point, that the government does have very real power, and the powers written in the Constitution have been greatly exceeded. There's a lot invested in especially the executive branch, but the entire system of the federal government. So there's real power there. The problem is that the idea of our voting for our leaders or changing things through voting is extremely illusory because of the degree to which the strings are pulled behind the scenes. The fact that we can't face up to that makes us all the more limited because as a people, we keep on voting, hoping to finally get the change we need when we're not addressing the root issue and the reason why the input never seems to match the output. It's a failure to recognize the real levers of power. The psychology about groups strongly suggests that the ephemeral ideas of hope and change and the power of belief and all these other terms, that they provide their own feedback value to the crowds of followers. And even though this process is thoroughly disconnected from the political reality and the people come up empty most of the time, they willingly do it in exchange for political power that tips the dynamic in favor of the ever stronger big government. People get to identify with different ideologies. They get to feel included. They get to feel important and self-righteous. They get to feel involved and active in the political process. And though that becomes a scam or a trick, an illusion, a grand deception, it's an important type of energy, and people do long for that. I think that's why you see the level of participation that you do. Not everything in this American process of voting is bad, but plenty of it is, and the hopium can clearly lull a population to sleep, just as much as divisive issues can bombard different demographics of people with distraction issues that rile them up and use up their energy and their anger, and then in turn provide a convenient target to receive the blame from the other side, from the other demographics. Typically, a scapegoat of some kind is produced every cycle, every 4 years, arguably to keep people from uniting or collectively focusing on the biggest and most important parts of the problem. The things that are happening at the top of the pyramid, where most of the power is concentrated, well above the petty offices that are visible, that are immediately in the face of people. The ill-begotten powers that be work hard to manufacture this consent. All of this is tailored to suit the needs of the system, but to pay homage, to pay lip service to the needs of the people. There is a need to fulfill and satiate the drives of the governed, and the system does have to address that at some level, but it's not as it seems. The process is not straightforward. It's a game of mirrors. It's a funny carnival ride. The anger and the outrage is part of it, too. It's all directed towards some useful end. Complementing this cyclical contest of gladiatorial blood sport and fake wrestling candidates is an obviously coordinated effort to suck off the vitality of the remains of the nation, to collect and trap your willpower like a Ghostbusters device, to nudge you with perception, ideas that you assume you adopted through free will.
Ideologies you assume you adopted through free will but are actually a result of hidden messages.
To provoke and poke at your emotions and to vent some kind of steam. It's a steam valve. The collective anger and outrage that otherwise would threaten to topple the system if it were allowed to fester too long, if it were allowed to explode with pressure. And it's also, in many ways, to harvest the clicks and likes of our lives, including in the pre-social media period, and to accumulate the currency of our attentions. Regular people may not have much say, after all, in who's elected, what laws are made, how public monies are spent, or how power is wielded. But we don't have to give our consent as well. We don't have to wish for it. We don't have to consent to it. We don't have to give permission and a mandate for it. That's the difference. Withdrawing consent, refusing to endorse a bad system, not voting, can be a protest of the futility of the process of voting. Though, conversely, pure apathy can be its own trap of non-action. Nevertheless, refusing consent and disengagement from the system circumvents a loop of reinforced energy that otherwise serves to perpetuate these deeply corrupted institutions and their milieu of bad candidates, false saviors, and misleaders. I would still caution against the philosophy common to many voters of so-and-so being the better choice this time around, the lesser evil, the only choice given these two bad choices, and then just going for the vote anyway.
The most important election in the history of our country.
The most important election of our lifetime.
Most important election of our lifetime.
This is the most important election.
Most important election.
2008 is.
This is the most important.
The most important election.
Most important election.
One of the most important elections
you've ever voted in your entire life.
In our lifetime.
Our lifetime.
The single most important election.
This is the most important election in history.
The most important election in this nation in 50 years.
The most important of all choices.
One of the most vital in the history of America.
This time, vote like your whole world depended on.
Because all such votes are not just weak, they're bad if they don't align with the sound principles, things such as individual rights, limited delegated constitutional government powers, and limits on the actions of federal agencies and what FDR once termed broad executive power. Sending that energy somewhere else
is a unit of change from the deeply flawed, deeply embedded, thorough, degenerated status quo of institutions that are betraying our rights and indeed our way of life. Inasmuch as your vote also signifies a form of speech, by casting your wish for a given choice, not just a candidate, but a choice, it is important to acknowledge that this form of speech is hardly free. The choices of expression are grotesquely limited, and the modes of getting on the ballot are so controlled that expression in this manner of the vote ballot is itself a kind of anti-speech, and it's kind of rude behavior, just to vote and then have a general nonplussness about everything else going on. Free speech has been blindfolded, gagged, and thrown in the trunk, and toyed with like a sad victim, prolonged in confusion by a twisted psycho killer getting off on the attention paid to the club they belong to, the club of sadistic attention seekers.
I think we need to push back on this. There's no guarantee to free speech on misinformation or hate speech, and especially around our democracy.
And with free speech slapped around like a silly bitch, we shouldn't pretend as if our elections mean a damn thing other than engagement farms for the tech bros running these elections and other forms of circus entertainment. Sure, candidates want your consent. They crave your consent, like a vampire knocking at the door. They really want your permission to enter. But we, the people, don't have to give it, and we shouldn't do so to any candidate or party we know to be compromised, that we know to be engaged in half or whole evils. Representative democracy isn't a bad idea, but it's not a perfect one either, even in theory. Representative democracy is an improvement over many other forms of government, but if a majority can vote to cancel the rights of other individuals or to injure groups in the minority, then it isn't a very good system, and that's not what this country is set up to be. As Benjamin Franklin supposedly said, democracy is two wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner. But in practicality, a major part of the problem is especially the false hope of changing things by voting. Voting bigger and voting harder, getting the vote out, making signs, crossing fingers, getting bullied, lectured, and guilted into voting by other well-meaning people, until enough people just wish for something to get better without ever getting the intended results. Input doesn't match the output. And yet, every cycle, like a population-wide mind control, well, sort of anyway, they seek to capture everyone's attention, everyone's data, everyone's time, and plenty of everyone's money. They harvest your consent, they harvest your willpower, and they render you neutralized for another cycle, steam valve release. Systematically, no matter who people vote for, what they're given in return has been shittier and shittier standards of living, greater and greater infringements of supposedly protected rights, less and less meaningful representation, less and less of even the lip service of pretending to care, and a population-wide acceptance of the unreal. Just as a hypnotist directing false beliefs into a group of people in a stage show. How can this go on? To throw away your vote, to throw away your wish here, is to give away your power, and to delay any chance of betterment with another layer of consent cement. The exuberance and cheer and naive excitement over this selection process is terrifyingly cringe, but the apathetic compliance in just going along with it even though you know how flawed it is, voting in spite of, to me that's somehow worse. I mean, that's a problem. Your intention matters.
Pile up the biggest vote in the nation's history. An aroused America cuts across all party and factional lines to record its verdict. Here is the freest democracy in action. The aged and young bring the cross-section of the people to the expression of their will in an atmosphere of calm domestic purpose.